And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is December 28th, 2025, the last Sunday of 2025. Hard to believe, but we're glad that you're here. The message that we just heard was by Charles Wiseman, who is Esau Edom, and I hope you enjoyed that message. Did get a call from one person that was having a hard time hearing it, but checked with several other people, and they said that they could hear it just fine, so I'm not sure what the deal is. Sometimes that is the way the internet works, but I will have that on the archives page later on today, and if you'd like it on DVD or a CD, you can contact me, and I'll make sure that you get one of those. And the book that goes along with that message is back in print. It's been out of print for about 15 years. Back in print now. We were going to be shipping that next week, but they showed up early. So we do have those available for a $16 donation with $4 shipping and handling. And the other new book that's been out of print was America Free, White, and Christian, and I'm glad that those books are back in print. These are two books that we get calls on and letters on a very regular basis, people that are looking for those. They're timeless. They're fantastic books, full of information, good information, and we do have those available. So just want to put a plug in for that. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we just ask that you shine your face down upon us as we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just ask that you be with these messages and wherever they may go, and let them be a light into this world, Father. Let them carry truth and power, and Lord, let them be received well. Lord, as we gather and assemble together here in person, and those that gather with us through the internet and through DVDs, Lord, we just ask, Father, that our hearts and minds may be put in proper order. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day, and we're grateful for the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, we're grateful for that, and we just praise you and thank you for all the many blessings that you give us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, we got Anders here in person with us today. He drove all the way in from Nebraska to be with us this morning. So thanks, Anders, for that. Appreciate it. It's always good to have a visitor, especially when they drive, get up and drive 4 hours before coming to church. That's good. We do appreciate that. We're going to start off with a song, and this one is I Saw the Light.
I wonder, so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like an angel in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a
And we did receive quite a few emails of people that were receiving their Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, and actually had several people that emailed me this week and said, how do I receive that newsletter? And it's real simple. Just email me your name and your address, and tell me that you'd like to be put on that list, and I'll make sure that you get that. But was encouraged by that. Also, we've got a message coming up by Brother Zach. This one is titled, What the Darkness Does Not Comprehend. And we recorded this one last night, and did have a couple of problems with the internet. Internet was slow. We had a wind and bad internet, and didn't get all the prayer chain out on the bulletin. It was just kept cutting out, couldn't get it. Everything was down. Called them, and yeah, they said that, well, they'd have somebody come out and look at it maybe on Monday. So that didn't help us at all. I'm glad that I was able to do some stuff here at the church this morning, get it working good here. But, yeah, one of those things. So I don't know. We're going to have to look at getting some other kind of internet, too. And I've been hearing good things about Starlink. So I don't know. We might try that and try something different just to see if we can't prevent some of those problems. But I think you'll enjoy this message by Brother Zach. And we'll have that coming up right about now.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, December 28th, 2025, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're here to join us, and we appreciate that you guys spend your time with us every single Sunday morning. And with that, I am going to start out by defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I just want to stop right there. I just kind of noticed here on verse 5. I never noticed. I've been reading that verse to you guys for 5 years now, a little over 5 years. And in verse 5 it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend that. And you sit there and you think about the Word of God. What is it? The Word of God is God, the great I Am's love letter to his bride, Israel. And God had his political system, his law, in order to run a country, to run people's lives, to run families, whatever it may. It is a guide on how you conduct yourself. It is the rules that you, well, basically what it is, it's the borders of how you conduct your day-to-day life. Be respectful. Don't be a cheat. Be honorable. Because like when Joseph was on trial or whatever, when Joseph was, had the chance to, be with Potiphar's wife, his response was, well, God will see me, you know, and I'm paraphrasing right there. He didn't want to offend his God, and therefore what it cost him, but and in the end, it ended up giving him approval, and he ended up being second in command with Egypt. And when you sit there and you think about it, and the darkness did not comprehend it, well, what is God's law? What is God's system? Well, it's punishment for wickedness. It is blessing for obedience, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So you sit there and you look at this Baal system, this Babylonian system that we are in today, and there are those that are freeloaders that aren't willing to work, and believe me, I do see freeloaders on my side gig when I'm running the basic life support unit, freeloaders, people that don't want to take responsibility for the choices that they've made in life, and then they're living on the system. That system is blessing people that refuse to work, refuse to better themselves, and what they actually refuse to do is take responsibility for the decisions that they've made in their life. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people, they've just been dealt a bad hand. And I'm not saying that that's just black and white, because there are gray areas in that. But, you know, the immigrants that were allowed in under the Biden and his administration, they were, you know, basically given a wad full of cash to get established and this and that. And that came out of my pocket and your pocket. They were being blessed for, one, being illegal, because everybody thought that it was a good idea. Well, not everybody, but, you know, the liberal left thought that was a good idea. We got to help these people. And it didn't matter if they came to this country legally or not. But they were blessing, you know, the comprehension of blessing people for doing good is foreign to them. They have in their minds, they do not differentiate what is right and wrong. And in my opinion, that is the darkness not comprehending the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They just don't comprehend it. Now, granted, if somebody gets into a situation that, you know, maybe they just, I don't know, I get into a situation, I am more than willing to help them. I'm more than willing to help, you know, give advice, even maybe take out of my own pocket to assist somebody to get them on their feet. But I'm not in the business of giving somebody a fish day after day after day. I'm in the business of teaching that individual to learn how to fish, so that way not only they can stand on their own 2 feet, because there's a level of pride that goes in to being able to go out there and be a savage. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, I don't ever want to walk around and have anybody tell me that I didn't push hard. I didn't put enough effort into, you know, my work, into my family. And, you know, I just kind of was a freeloader. That is something that I, you know, that I will never be involved with. I've also seen it people, you know, I had one buddy a few years ago. He was one of the ones that got the COVID-19. Now, whatever your opinion about it is, whatever. But anyways, this guy's a couple of years younger than me. He darn near died. He darn near died. And I'm not saying that I agree with the practices of the hospitals back then. I'm just telling you the situation that he went through. Now, this guy I've known for 40 years. I talk to his dad every other week, because his dad's a savage. He's a great businessman. But when my friend, this guy that I went to school with, that I used to hang out with in high school and after school, we all got married and we all kind of broke up and started our own families. He was in a bad spot. And I'll tell you what, the community literally stopped what they were doing and stepped in and made sure that my friend, and I was one of them, made sure my friend went in and they had, because he wasn't able to work. His wife was, well, he does a lot of volunteering for the school and the church that they go to. So, like, her income wasn't able to sustain all the needs of the family. And the community went in there and made sure that they had enough to get through the winter, because, like, by the time he got out of the hospital, there's, you know, it was pushing November, December. I don't remember exactly what time of year it was. But they made sure that, you know, he's got a big outdoor wood stove, that everything was full. They didn't, you know, there was semis coming in with, you know, loads of wood. The guy needed 20 cord of wood to heat his place. It was there and provided for him, and nobody took claim to who coughed it up as far as the to have that stuff delivered. There was a huge party, wood splitting party on a Saturday. Everybody rolled in and took care of it. Everybody rolled in, made sure there's enough food, made sure there's enough, you know, they had a cash benefit. So that way their electricity, their mortgage, groceries, everything was taken care of while he healed up and he was able to get back to work. That is how America, this system is supposed to work. The guy wasn't a bum. The guy was in a bad spot and everybody pitched in. That's America. That is people caring for their neighbor to make sure they're tip top. The other thing that I explained, you know, people just rolling in with their hand out, that's not cool. Not willing to put the legwork in to be here and to, you know, mold to our culture and say, hey, the God of the Bible of these Anglo-Saxons is the reason why the blessing's here. You see the difference? That's the light that the darkness does not comprehend. That's my opinion. I don't know if I'm wrong. You know, let me know. But that's just the way I see it. That's the way Zach, Brother Zach, sees it. You know, if my friend's in a bad spot, I'm coming. If I know he's a good straight shooting dude, and does he know the truth the way I do? No. But what kind of an example would I be if I was to disengage into that in that situation and not show up? I'd be a jerk. I don't want to be a jerk. I mean, some people call me a jerk, but I can be a jerk in a lot of other ways, but most of the time it's because I care. So with that being said, last few weeks we've been talking about Esau, Edom, what his weapon is. His weapon is deception. The sheep are dumb and they like to listen. Okay? The sheep are dumb and, you know, we know as we are the bride of Christ, it's a feminine thought process. I mean, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, our husband, Jesus Christ, paid for us to be rejoined to him. And the benefits that we get from that, if we are obedient, protection, it's longevity of our country, it's good health. You know, the food laws, like, don't be eating shrimp. Don't be eating pork. You know, I mean, it's just basic stuff is because he cares. He cares about the health of his people. He cares about the finances of his people. As long as his people take responsibility for the decisions that they've made and basically turn their lives into a dumpster fire and begin to be obedient, things will turn around. I mean, it's literally that simple. But I would like to talk about a few things. Like, you know, we do have this deception, this fake church, this Esau, Edom church out there. And the feminine energy does not like to hear the truth. Like Pastor Peter always used to say, all the guys that are around me, you remember those Acres of Diamond men? They just say, what was the characteristic of those men, those Acres of Diamond men? What did they have? Just tell me the truth. Just give it to me straight. That's one of the things that's different with us on this ministry. And we try to sit there and project the truth as accurately as we can. Do we get it 100% every time? Probably not. But we try. And I promise you, if you slip up, or I slip up, me, I will hear about it. I've only heard about two things since I've been involved. And, you know, I've had to adjust. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, a couple years ago, I did, I think it was a three-part series on faith. But maybe and that might not be a bad idea to replay those. Because I thought I thought part three was the best. It kind of just wrapped everything up. It put the first two sermons in a nutshell. Now, maybe I should get Jason the next time I'm on duty to play that sermon about faith. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to define what faith is. And I begin by reading in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it, men of old gained approval. So the men of old gained approval by this thing called faith. Faith is something that you cannot see, that you cannot touch. What is it? It is the assurance of things hoped for. Think about that. Do you hope with your knees? Do you hope with your feet? Do you hope with your chest? You hope with what's going on between your ears. It is also the conviction of things not seen. Other translations have called it the evidence of things not seen. And they've said it is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if you think about that, the evidence is real. It's physical. You can touch it. It is the, It is the, how do I want to put this? It is the substance. So it's the thought process, which is electrical pulses, maybe is the right way to put it, of what's going on between your ears. Because you have to think about something that you want. And the evidence is you can feel it in your gut. You know. It doesn't physically exist yet, but you can physically manifest it. It's like what Jesus said. You know, you guys will be able to do greater miracles than me. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we have to have what's going on between our ears and what we believe in our gut to know be possible. You got to know it. It's got to exist in your brain and in your gut first. I'm going to tell you something. So the company that I am a owner of, I have partners. And what we are doing, we are not going to explain it too much, but we are adding another division on, and we are creating another division of our company to provide a service. In fact, it's a copy and paste of another business, but as far as I can tell, there might be one or two other guys in the country doing this type of work. It's specialized. And we already have the piece of equipment. We want to get more of them is what we want to do. But we know that if we are able to prove this concept, and we already are proving the concept of what we're doing, because it's taken a lot of marketing, taken a lot of talking, it's taken a lot of, wheeling and dealing. You know, it's what it's like. It's like you're a salesman of a car. Yeah, drive it. Take it out for free, you know. It's one of those type of situations. But we know in our minds it's the substance. It's the evidence. We know it. And it's been very expensive, but we know if we stick with it and we are willing and we are willing to pay the price in order to accomplish our goal, we will not fail. Like in a book that I read, Psychology Achievement, you have to figure out what the cost is to reach your goal and you got to figure out how to get there, and you got to figure out what the cost is. If the two line up and the payoff is tip top, then chances are you're not going to fail. But why, you ask, why am I bringing that up? Because I know, and my partners know, that it is going to revolutionize the industry that I'm in. And we're one of the first ones in the nation to do it. We know it. We can feel it. We can sense it. In our minds and in our gut, it already exists. And on some levels, it's already there, but it needs to grow. And we have to stick with it. And we can't give up. And we can't let our frustrations as we go through our growing pains, because every time you get something figured out, it just unveils a bunch of other problems, and you can't get discouraged, because sooner or later, it's going to kick in, and it's just like the, I don't know if you ever, anybody's ever been out to Albuquerque. It's when they take off on that runway, and the fire, it's been 20 years since I've been out there, but I'm pretty sure the runway in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the big airport there, it faced to the, I believe it faced to the east. There's a set of mountains there, and you see those jets, and they just crank that stuff. It's like my one, and they just crank that plane, and they just stand it up. Sooner or later, it's going to stand up. It's like my one buddy, he went to Vietnam, and I was asking him about when he left Vietnam, and I think he was coming out of, I can't remember. There's a couple of airports there, Saigon or someplace like that. And he was saying that the NVA and the VC was always mortaring the runway, and that jet took off. And he said that pilot literally stood that thing straight up, and everybody was just pushed back in their seats, you know, and they got out of there. But the point is, for those men to be able to be on that plane, they had to go through a year of just misery. You know, if you're an infantryman or something like that. You get what I'm saying. But how do these illustrations apply to our Christian life? You know, what do we have? We have Esau. We have his church. We have the dirty birds. They are in direct opposition to the truth. There's a lot of truth in there. And then they put the leaven of the Pharisees in there. And then it goes through the whole loaf. What does that do? That belief of lies leavens the whole loaf, and then it makes God ineffective. Because God does not change. That's the darkness that the light cannot comprehend, or that's the darkness that can't comprehend the light. And it's in opposition for it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin by reading in verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So what did he do? He gave us the mindset to not be in darkness, to see the lies, to not get involved in the lies and not partake in the lies, the Babylonian lies. That's what he did. And when we are transferred, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, that is a sovereign citizen. I've watched guys on YouTube, the sovereign citizen. They're a bunch of clowns. And if you're a sovereign citizen out there, maybe you need to understand why you're in the situation that you're in, because your nation is so far away from God that the Babylonian system has every right to rough up the nation because of disobedience. Like I said, you can change the world. It's you are the one that has to change. I am the one that has to change. And how do we do that? Becoming a citizen of his kingdom and being obedient. So that way we are transferred into his kingdom of his beloved Son. That's how we do it. in whom we have redemption, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or domains or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. There you go. So he's the one that is the influence, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God, the great I am. He created it all. He created the resistance. He created the ability for rulers and domains to oppress us. It is by his will. And how to lift oppression off is, for one, we have to be transferred into his kingdom through the baptism of the remission of sins. Two, we have to be obedient. And when we act that way, it's a little bit of resistance toward the evil in this world. It's a little bit of it's that change, which gives God a little more power in order to put on blessing. And our job as Christian soldiers is to recreate by convincing other people, one, who they are, who Jesus came for, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and how to that's it. Give them the truth. You can change the course of a nation by doing that. That's that. You think, if I do that, that's the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. If I do this, then this is going to be the result. That's why we're starting that other division in the company. If I do this, this is going to be the result. And I don't care how long it's going to take, I'm not going to give up. And these are promises of God. These are promises of Jesus Christ. Like, I literally do not think when Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, he wasn't on the mission to save nations. He was on the mission to buy back Israel so that way they could do it. And I'm going to get to the point to why here in a moment. I'm sorry, I'm up in my cabin and like the lighting here just makes it difficult for me to read my Bible. Verse 15. He is the image of all things invisible to God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, I already read all that, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. For before all things and in him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fulfillment to dwell in him. Verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will have first place in everything. He is the head of the church. He is the mind of the body. And if Jesus said that we can do something, if Jesus said your obedience is going to produce this, this, and this, then that's the way it is. The reason why we don't have certain blessings, safety in our streets, immigrants running over getting free handouts, is because of the lack of obedience. Now, there's things going on in our nation right now where people are tired of it, and they're waking up to it. And these are all good things. But it is by the providence and the approval of God that these things are happening. The key is you got to watch what's going on so that way you're not deceived. My faith is not in our current president. My faith is if I conduct myself properly, I will be okay. If I protect my reputation, I will be okay. It doesn't matter who's in office. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the mind. That's why it's important when I read John 1, and the Word was God, and Jesus was the Word that became flesh. It's his mind. And we need to pay attention to what the head is. We need to pay attention to what the head thinks. That what I was talking about last week or a week before, I forget. What these false signs and wonders, if you are obedient, do you actually need these false signs and wonders? And what I mean by that, these crazy healings, do you need them? No. Because if people took responsibility for their own actions and actually obeyed the food laws, would they really need the prayer to be healed? I think not. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you crash a motorcycle or something and break your arm or your legs, then you need some prayer. Don't get me, I'm not saying everything's black and white, because it's not. But what I'm saying, because what do they do for those people? Because I've witnessed some pretty crazy miracles. Do they tell them, well, you know, you got cancer because you're probably full of parasites. You eat pork. You eat a bunch of processed food. If you change your diet and lose 40 pounds, you probably, your heart, blood pressure will be a lot lower. Maybe you need to back off the Monster energy drinks or whatever. Do they give them any advice to that? I mean, just think about it. They sit there and start browbeating them about their actions and their conduct before they got there? No. What do they? It just creates a vicious cycle. It just creates it's a false sign and wonder. This is why you got into this position. This is how you change it. I've never heard that. Back when I was growing up and a teenager in my 20 years, into that lifestyle and into that Esau, Edom, Dirty Bird pulpits, I never once heard that. Great business model. What is that? That's darkness. Not comprehending the light. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that way you will know which is the hope, his calling. What's the hope? It's what you know is going, what you know is pleasing to our God. That is a substance. It is an evidence of things not seen. It is a hope for the things to come. Does it align with the Word that became flesh? Does it align with the Word that was God? That is what my hope should be and your hope should be. Despite everything that you see Esau's mouth running. Why it's important to be highly educated in the Word. That way you can tell. Do I have an Esau talking to me? Do I have a twice-over son of hell talking to me? Am I going to listen to what he says? I mean, I'll listen. But my education tells me different. As many of you know, I'm an EMT. I could tell you in 3 sentences if somebody claimed to be an EMT, if they were or not. If they are one, if they're not, how can I? Because I went through the training. I am trained 2 nights a month on what were they call it, continuing ed, on the scope of what my license allows me to do. I can tell you within 3 sentences if that person's lying to me. Why? because I know what is expected of me. I know what medical control will allow me to do and what he won't, or what it won't. Can the Judeo-Christian actually say that? Can a Jew? No, they can't, because they're like, oh, the law's tacked away on the law, on the cross. What's their hope? What's our hope? That's the difference. They say, well, we're going to die and go to heaven. They only give a rip about what's going to heaven, and they don't care two or three generations down the road. It's irrelevant to them. Why? Because their prize is different than ours. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I want to make it to heaven. But is that the only prize? No. The prize is security. That way, my sons and daughter can be just as prosperous as me. And I need to teach them, for one, how to navigate this system. Two, how to basically be a Paul. When we went through a few months ago, how he navigated all three political systems, the Pharisees, the Roman, and Christian, and God's system. That's the way our brains need to think. We need to be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. Let me continue. Where was I? Verse 20. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What's he saying? Jesus Christ is the boss. Jesus Christ is the king. What did we read earlier? He created all things. This is why it's so important that we need to be obedient. To change the things in our life and not pay attention to that lawless one, Esau, and change the world. A little bit at a time. Baby step. One step forward, one step forward, one step forward. Because he created all these things. Verse 22. And put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church. Think about that statement. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Let me read that again. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Do you understand? I don't even understand. I'm not even going to pretend like I actually understand. One more time. As head over all things to what? The church. Well, we just read in Colossians, that he is the head of the church. He is head of the body, his mind, the word. What's so hard to comprehend about that? The amount of authority that you and I actually have that we're actually oblivious to, and we don't understand the power that we possess because of the lack of having the evidence, the lack of having the substance of things hoped for. We can sit there and go off on rabbit trails and talk about what everybody else is doing. What am I doing? What are you doing? If we're not substancing and evidencing that we walk in our own lives, then we have no faith. We need to know and feel, like, you can feel it, that we can do it. You can feel it, that we can accomplish everything Jesus said that we can do. Because everything was created by him, all the domains, all the rulers, all the powers, and they're subject to him, and he's the head to what? The church. You sit there and tell me that the church isn't a political identity. I have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing that. Verse 23, which is his body, fullness of him who fills all in all. What's the church supposed to do? They're supposed to fulfill all in all. That's our job. That's our job to teach. That's our job to point things out. That's our job to change people's minds and put the mind of Christ in the temple. What did we say last week? What did Pastor Peter say? Esau, the man of lawlessness, sits in the temple and displays him as what? God. He is lawless. That's what he does. What do? We reintroduce and convince people, just like Josiah. You guys know it. He's my hero. One of them. Because he read the law and understood the what was coming at him. Because of the sins of his forefathers. But Jesus said that you're the body, I'm the body, and we can turn the situation around. Our conduct, by how we view ourselves, by the law that is written in our hearts. Giving God and Jesus the honor that he deserves and actually believing him that we can do it. Turns me to Isaiah. I see I'm almost out of time. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given. For the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Let me stop right there. The government, where does it rest? Where does the government rest? On his shoulders. What is his shoulders? It's the beginning of the body, and the whole body supports that government. Think about it. The government rests on me and you and everybody out there that has found the truth and was baptized for the remission of sin. That's the power that we possess. I don't even know if I actually fully believe what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying is right, but like, just the thought of the amount of power that we have, that we as a body, as a whole, are ignoring. What's the government? It's his law. Despite what Esau says, despite what the man of lawlessness says, despite what all those that practice lawlessness say, because we all know their end, despite all of that, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's actually unbelievable to sit there and really wrap your head around these verses in Isaiah and just think about it. And then that's you. That's me. And whatever part of the body you are, your job is to support that government that rests on him. Because above is the head. It's the mind of Christ. Now next week we're going to get into, because I think I got a pretty good idea of the why it's not accomplished. And we're going to get into that next week. Out of, I've been talking for 45 minutes now, and I'm going to end my sermon with there. And I want you guys to think about it and actually believe in yourself and make changes and repent and stop doing certain things that make you feel guilty. That because as sheep, we instinctively know the things that we do wrong that don't please the shepherd. And next week we're going to talk about, well, how do we, you know, even though we're baptized, we're human. We screw stuff up. There is a Old Testament that talk about God's people, Israelite, those people that formed a multitude of nations of screwing up. But we are his people and he is our God. And with that, I'm going to end this morning's sermon. For those that may bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. And as we prepare to take communion, we're going to have a song, and we're not going to put the words up. I just want you to listen to the song, and it is When They Crucified My Lord.
To glory, for he rose from the grave on the third day.
feel like shouting glory, glory, glory. Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
Turn it down up here. I want to start off by reading a scripture found in John 6, starting in verse 49. You're in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also eats of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." And I want to turn to Obadiah in verse 15. It says, "The day of the Lord and the future. For the day of the Lord, as you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will be returned upon your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually, drink and swallow, and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of stubble. And they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. Then those of the Negev will possess the mountain of Esau." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, communion, drink of your blood. We just ask, Father, that this blood be applied to our life, that this bread, as we eat of it, knowing that your word says that we will not die as the others, but we will live. We eat, we just ask, Father, that you shine down upon us, and Father, that you rejuvenate us. Let us be those overcomers. Let us be protected. Let us have that protection of the new covenant, our households, that we may be saved. Oh Lord, we're grateful for this, and we're grateful for the price that was paid to give us access to your throne, to give us the life. We know that every drop of blood was precious in your sight and ours as well. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. You may partake.